Judges is not an easy book, to be honest. In fact, if somebody were to start reading the Bible and be new in their faith, Judges would not be the first book I would want them to read. In fact, there are things in the book of Judges that are just brutal. I mean, like we just read, here's a woman just driving a tent peg through the temple of a man into the ground and killing him. There's things worse and more brutal and graphic than that as you go through Judges. And it was just an awful time and a violent time. But through Judges, there are wonderful examples of great faith and even heroes of the faith. I stepped away from the hero sermon series during the Advent season so that I could focus on Advent and Christmas, but I'm going to come back to heroes and finish up over the next 4 weeks. I've got four more heroes, well, including Deborah today, that I wanted to preach about. And then I'm going to switch gears completely, go back in the New Testament, and we're going to jump into the Gospel of Mark. But there's a lot that I wanted to say as an introduction to Judges, but as busy as the worship service was today, I'm going to leave a lot of those comments and a lot of that contextualization for next week. And I'm going to be talking about Gideon, and so I'm just going to jump in here with Deborah and feel the need to pray. So if you'll bow with me. Heavenly Father, I just pray that as I step out in faith, stepping up front just to speak your word, that, Lord God, it would be you that would go ahead of me, leading, Lord God, and leading us, leading our hearts into a deeper relationship with you. And may it be our faith that grows and flourishes, Lord God. And so, Lord, do this and even more, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, let's just start with, who is Deborah? She was a judge, and so, okay, a little bit of context. Of course, we know Moses. Moses was the great leader of Israel who led them out of slavery, led them out of Egypt, but then they got stuck in a desert and wandering in a desert for 40 years. And Moses led them through all of that, and then the baton passed to Joshua, kind of his general, his right-hand man. And so Joshua took over from Moses, and it was Joshua's privilege to be able to then lead Israel into the promised land. And then they won many significant decisive battles, and then it was Joshua's role as leader to give to each of the 12 tribes their allotment in the land and help set them up in the promised land. And then when Joshua passed on, it was the judges who led Israel and became the leaders of Israel. And so the judges actually were more leaders than they were really judges. In fact, Deborah was a judge. It says here she even held court and decided disputes. But actually, among the judges, she was the only one that it talks about, at least, that would do that, that would sit down and literally judge. But think about this. So Deborah, like I said to the kids, in a very male-dominated world back then, she must have been quite extraordinary to arise among all of Israel as the one who would lead them. She was their leader, their chief, not their king. Kings would come later, but she led Israel. She obviously was a woman who was filled with the Holy Spirit. She was a prophet, a prophetess, actually, of the Lord. And so, as a prophetess, she received from the Lord his word, his commands, and then she was God's spokesperson. She would tell the people what God's will was. And for example, when she went to Barak with a very, very distinct and detailed message for him to then go and lead Israel into battle. So she spoke for the Lord. She was God's spokesperson. She was a prophetess. She was a judge. Obviously, being a judge, she was someone who was very wise, very discerning, very righteous. You don't go to a judge. She wasn't just elected, really elected as a judge. She rose up. She so distinguished herself as having God's spirit, God's wisdom, but also God's righteousness, so they knew they could go to her with their disputes and she would give a righteous decision. And then she was also a songwriter. So all of chapter 5 was the song that Deborah, along with Barak, had written, commemorating this great battle and their defeat over their enemies. And so she was kind of like Israel's Celine Dion. It was a joke, anyway. So, I don't know. Who knows if she was even a good singer, but she was a singer and a songwriter. So, now, God acting outside of the box. What do I mean here? Well, first and foremost, a woman. Now, for us, and in our day and age, women in leadership, it's not a big deal. I should say, too, for the record, I am all for women in all levels of leadership, both in the community but in the church. And I do believe that in the Messianic age, Joel prophesied about this in Joel 2. And it says quite clearly, in the Messianic age, God was going to pour out his Spirit upon men and women, and both men and women would prophesy, would be his spokespersons. And so women also would have that leadership position, that be speaking for God, anointed, filled with his Holy Spirit. So I'm all for women in leadership at all levels. You're going to think I'm a little paradoxical, a little puzzling as I explain in a little bit too how, and yet there is an order of things that we see even in the New Testament where Paul distinguishes and says, but the man is the head of the wife. And so the man is the head of the household. All right, so how do we make this work together? And I could spend a lot of time on this, and I don't have a lot of time this morning, but let me just say this. Men, okay, if we are fulfilling our duty, fulfilling our role in the home, in the church, before Christ, then, and that's Ephesians chapter 5, if we are also, as it says in Ephesians chapter 5, loving our wife as Christ loved the church, now that would be an awesome love, would it not, ladies? And can you imagine, ladies, if that man, your man, is loving you as, with a love that's so powerful, so godly, so self-sacrificial, as Christ loved the church, it would be easy to follow through with your obligation in Ephesians 5 and submit to that man who is so awesome. And far from that woman, therefore, just fading into obscurity, in fact, that woman would flourish in that home and in that marriage, and she probably would become that Proverbs 31 kind of woman who, far from being belittled in this relationship, actually is praised. And so Proverbs 31:28 says, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. That would be a wonderful home, and especially how blessed would those kids be in that home. So, okay, there's an order to things and everything, but anyway, all right. That's as far as I want to go off on that tangent. Here's what was happening in Israel at the time. How was it that, you know, it was a woman that God so distinguished and rose up and gave leadership to? First and foremost, because the men were all abdicating. Ooh, there's another big word. A few weeks back, I gave you the word recalcitrant. Jane Peterson thought that was just such a great word, recalcitrant. And recalcitrant then is when we are just literally like, it comes, the etymology, the way that where that word comes from is like a donkey that is kicking against, you know, trying to buck against doing what its master wants it to do. And so when we are just like kicking against God, when we are just, I will not, and just a willful refusal to follow God, then that we're being recalcitrant. Well, that describes Israel at the time. They were, in this time, especially in Deborah's time, they had so fallen back, backslidden, and more than backslidden, now they are more than associating, intermarrying with the Canaanites and all the people of the land, and now they're bowing down to their idols, and they're getting all mixed up in their idolatry, and they're just completely forsaking God. And the men in particular were abdicating their responsibility. What does that word mean? It literally is like when a king abdicates the throne, he is giving up his leadership position. It literally means that we are, let me see, I wrote it down. We are, it's a failure to fulfill your duty or responsibility. You're failing either by rejection or refusal or abandonment to fulfill your duty or responsibility. So it would be like a soldier abandoning his post. And that's what the men were doing in Israel. They were abandoning their posts in faith to be spiritual leaders, and even as soldiers, and you could see from the words of Barak here, and when Deborah gave him this command from God to go and assemble this army of 10,000 and go, and God would lead, and God would then give him victory in this battle, Barak, in all of his timidity, said, "Well, I'll only go if you go with us, Deborah. If you don't go, I ain't going." You can see that timidity, that like a soldier abandoning his post. So the men were abdicating. God is not going to be put into a box. And if the children won't praise him, the rocks will cry out, Jesus said. And so God said, I find in Deborah a person of great faith. I will accomplish my purposes through her. And that is God's way, and I put that at the very top of the sermon notes. God will employ the person of faith, no matter who they are, man, woman, child, to lead his people and accomplish his purposes. And it was Deborah's faith that led the way and inspired Israel. Faith is the key above all else. In fact, the writer to Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Listen to that. You cannot please God without faith. And again, what is faith? It's simply believing God, believing what he says is true, and acting upon that belief. Not abdicating, not a failure of my duty or responsibility, but acting upon it. And that was Deborah. She acted upon that faith, and it is faith that can even move mountains. How can faith move mountains? Because it's God at work. It's not even me. It's not even necessarily my faith. My faith is just a conduit through which God then acts and does mighty, even miraculous things. And so it was Deborah's faith, but at the end of the day, it was God, point five in the sermon notes, God who won the battle. And so it was very obvious too, and even Deborah was pointing that out. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you, Barak? So God went ahead. And there's some wonderful stories that I could weave in, and I don't have the time this morning, but amazing examples throughout Scripture of when God led the battle, awesome things, miraculous things would happen. A massive army you're looking at, we're dead here. And then King Hezekiah prayed, dear God, help us. All right. God sent a destroying angel, and in one night, 185,000 of the enemy soldiers were dead. Next day, they packed up camp and fled with their tail between their legs. Yeah, when God leads, the impossible can become possible. And so, why are we striving? Why are we straining? Why are we trying to fight our own battles? Why? Why? If we will allow God to lead, and by faith, just believe in him, but let him lead. There's a song on K-Love that's out right now. It's called Battles by a group called The Afters. And I love some of the words. Very biblical, too. This current is trying to wreck me like castles of sand. Castles of sand. My fear, like an enemy army, is marching again, but I'm making a stand. You surround me on every side. Your love is my armor. I fear no evil. Darkness runs from your light. So I won't be afraid. I won't be afraid. You're going before me, and oceans are parting. Remember Moses and the Israelites coming out of Egypt? You're going before me, and oceans are parting. You're fighting my battles. When my feet are failing and my heart is shaking, you're fighting my battles, fighting my battles. We need to let God fight our battles. And in this case, finally, when Barak went, led by Deborah, went into battle, God went ahead of them, and God won them a great battle that day. But just as Deborah had told him, because you're going about this the wrong way, the honor is going to go to a woman. And it happened just as she said. Again, as a prophetess, she prophesied exactly what will happen. And so the honor actually went, ironically, to Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, and it was her that killed Sisera, the Canaanite commander. And it's interesting, too, why? It doesn't explain why this woman, and she, was she an Israelite? Was she not? You know, there was kind of a shirt-tail relative here. Heber the Kenite, evidently, he had descended from Moses' brother-in-law. So there had been a kinship. There had been a faithful relationship of faith among the Israelites and the Kenites. But Heber had broken faith and was siding then with the Canaanite king. And it was him that ended up telling Sisera, the commander-in-chief of the Canaanite army, hey, this is where Barak is assembling his army. And so he had broken faith. And here it is too, when the man had abdicated his responsibility, in this case, almost it was treasonous, he had broken faith with the Israelites and had come to the side of the enemy, it was the woman who stood up and rectified things, and it was his wife who took the temple peg, or the tent peg, and drove it through Sisera's skull, killing him. And so it was the woman, it was Jael, who made things right. She undid an unholy alliance. Point seven, the right way to go about it. Because as Deborah had told Barak, you are not going about this the right way. So what's the right way of going about it? And what's the lesson here for us? First and foremost, trust in God alone. We need to trust in God. Throughout the book of Judges, it kept saying, and everyone did right in his own eyes. You see, everyone was just following after his own ideas, his own ways, the way he or she thought things should be done. They weren't following the Lord. That was not the right way. Instead, the right way was to trust God and let him take the lead. And I put a little note there too. We need to trust in God's presence and favor and not his symbols alone. And there's some examples too, I think it's very apropos for our day too, where, for example, I put down 1 Samuel 4, and they thought, the Israelites at the time, even though they were being unfaithful to God, they thought if they brought the Ark of the Covenant into the battle, well, then they were going to win the battle because they had God's symbol. They had his Ark. No. In fact, they so lost the battle. And Eli's son, the high priest's two sons that had taken the Ark into battle, they both died in the battle. It was a slaughter of the Israelites. And the Philistines that day took the Ark from them and had a great victory. You can't trust in God's symbols and just our rituals. And just because even I go to church, you know, if you're not walking with the Lord, if you're not being faithful to him and in faith walking with him, very likely you won't win the battle. What we need to do is be walking with the Lord in faith, in faithfulness. And as Jesus said it in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Christ, as if we start abdicating, if we start to pull away from God, we need to be cautious about that. And so throughout the book of Judges, we find example after example of that. And let God lead. Let it be done his way, in his timing, following his lead. And so it's not about, God, I am going to do this. Would you please bless me? No. It's God, what's your way? What's your timing? I'll follow your lead, and then the blessings will come. All right, quickly in conclusion, just a warning against backsliding. Abandon God and he'll abandon you. That's one of the lessons in Judges. Abandon God and he'll abandon you. But if you repent and seek him, he'll come and he will rescue you. And so throughout Judges, he kept coming back in their times of repentance. God can and often does use unlikely heroes. That's another lesson we get from Judges. In this case, it was Deborah. Who might it be today that God would find such faith that he would want to do wonderful, miraculous works in them? For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose hearts are completely his. When he finds somebody of faith, he will not distinguish whether it's male or female, this or that. No, he will do mighty things through that person. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord. This, above all else, is what made Deborah great, and that's why she's a hero to me. God bless you.